Well,
according to Mr. Google.
So in Google, all
right. We've got to get Derek up here to fix that again.
Probably last for a
We'll call to order then the July 23rd, 2019 special meeting of the Ashland Planning Commission. Not that all our meetings aren't special. Do we have any announcements?
No. No.
Okay. Now, you did circulate that one thing about the...
Right.
What's the name of that, Roger?
Garfield.
188 Garfield.
Yeah, so it's 7.
Yeah.
And it's 7 units.
And no amenities.
No recreational...
I mean, the language of their agreement actually says they're not, they may not provide those. So we haven't discussed it with them yet.
They could provide them if they wanted to, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they thought it better for them to do this, they could. But the city attorney and his wisdom set in place, which is what I'm sorry about. We have one speaker for public forum. Christina Fever.
Wyatt?
Yes. Your 3 minutes plan.
I have 15 minutes. I won't take it all.
You have to talk really fast.
Okay. Hi, my name is Christina Lefever. I live in Ashland. I have been here before this August body before, so I will tell you what I'm here for. In addition to being a citizen of Ashland, I'm also the chair of Being City USA Ashland. We are the fifth Being City USA in the country. Talent was the second in the country. We're the fifth, and then Phoenix, Gold Hill, and then Medford just became a B City. They're like number 86, so there's pushing 90 B cities in the country now. SOU is the first B campus in the country, and there's like 70 of those now. So I'm coming to you because I have a question, or two questions for you as planning commissioners. Every year, the B-City USA Ashland, well, every B-City USA has to fill out an annual report that goes back to B-City USA Central, as we call it, which is actually in Asheville, North Carolina, which is where the B-City USA program started. And so every year they send us a report, and every year they have these two questions on it, and every year we go, no, because I don't know the answer to this. So one of them is, have you acknowledged and committed to the B-City USA designation and the affiliate, meaning us, in our master planning documents? And I would say no. And then the other question is, have you reviewed the master plan and other relevant documents for pest management policies and practices as they relate to pollinator conservation, identified appropriate locations for pollinator-friendly plantings, and considered other appropriate measures? I know we have an IPM, an integrated pest management program, which is pretty good, Ashland Parks and Rec. But I have no idea what our master planning document looks like. I'm betting that we are not listed in there. And so my one question to you tonight is this something that we can look at and that we can be listed so that next year I can say yes? So have you acknowledged and committed to the B-City USA designation in our master planning documents is kind of the question. And then related to that, well, part of that is because then we can show that we do support our pollinators in our practices and our policies in the city. And I know we do the most we can. I think Ashland is ahead of the curve in that regard in many cities. We haven't been using synthetic pesticides on our parks for a number of years, and I still appreciate that. So related to that is my second question, asking for consideration for as we move forward, as you move forward as a planning commission, to think about the fact that there's not that much land left in Ashland being taken up by either residents or commercial properties. And I think people here are doing a great job planting pollinator gardens. We just had our third annual pollinator garden tour, and we had 175 people more or less come out.
So you could finish up.
My question basically is that would there be a way that we could have some incentives built into developments, either residential or commercial property, to include some percentage of pollinator habitat. KDA Homes is doing that voluntarily. They did that for Bernie Village and also for the garden cottages, and they actually have in their CCNR that no synthetic pesticides are used and that it's pollinator habitat. And so I would like to see Ashland incentivize the developers for either residential or commercial property to have some percentage in their development, new or
new landscape plan or something.
Landscape plan, yes, sir.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We have two items on the agenda. Tonight, unfinished business. The first, I don't think is the preference of the director to take these. So we'll just take them as they're listed. The first is the approval of findings for PA T2-2019-0008, the Silvery Brook Project. Does anyone have any?
No.
It's part of the disclosure. Thank you. See, you're so far.
No
ex parte.
Good job.
No
ex parte.
I talked to Caitlin at the Ashland Tidings briefly about the project. She called and said, "What did you guys do other than make it?" So I told her that we approved the project and there was a snafu with the notice. So we had to reopen it. So we reopened the hearing to take additional evidence. Nothing other than that. Other than that, no ex parte contacts. People have a chance to review the findings. Well, before we start, the applicant asked for a 2-week delay in adopting these. And
yeah, this afternoon
we have time.
Yeah, this afternoon the applicants gave us a list of a few requested changes to the findings document that they felt would decrease the chances of appeal and asked that we delay 2 weeks. They are subject to a 100-day timeline under the ORS because they're an affordable project. So it would pose a problem with the 100-day rule, and we did not get a formal extension from them with that request.
Right. And the 100 days runs, as I understand it, on the 11th of September?
Yes, that's correct.
If we delayed this for 2 weeks, that would be the appeal, with the appeal period, well, that would be our 8/13 meeting. The appeal period would end on 8/23. There's a 20-day notice to council, so they wouldn't even be able to hear it until after the 100-day period is run. So I don't think we can, in my view, I don't think we can acquiesce to that request. I'm really glad to do it tonight.
They didn't have their request ready for us to look at. Is that what we're talking about?
They have some suggested edits.
I have a list. We do sometimes
edit the findings.
I have suggested edits too.
Is there a reason for us not to hear their suggestions?
No.
Is that illegal?
It's because it's not evidence in the record. How can we take
the applicant
at this point to work into the findings?
Well, they may be making suggestions that they think better explain what we already did. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
I think the applicant can give us some proposals or suggestions to tweak the findings. If we, as a group, don't draft findings consistent with our decision, that's one thing. But the applicant can give us comment or feedback or how we think we should draft it or draft it to avoid appeal. That's all new evidence. I mean, that'd be the applicant asking us to do something. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's new evidence?
Oh, I don't know if it's new evidence or not, because I don't know what it is.
But we couldn't take new evidence.
I think if they were here today, we couldn't hear from them and say, this is what I'd like the findings to say.
Is it the findings or the conditions?
The findings and the conditions.
And the conditions, because conditions,
I'm not sure.
They should have responded during the hearing on the conditions. The findings are a little different, but playing around with conditions, I think that's where we're. If conditions change the project, that was a simple clarification in grammar or something else. But it's conditions to all of a sudden be
I have every right to look at them and make a decision of what I. You can always say no.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the findings, staff is interpreting what it is that we said verbally in our meeting. Yeah. And sometimes they don't actually say exactly what we think we said. And if the applicant is also thinking they didn't say exactly what the applicant thought we said, then I think we can look at it.
Yeah, I don't think it's new evidence. It's just suggested drafting.
We won't know unless we look. If we look, we can say this is new evidence. We shouldn't be ruling on it. Just because we look at it does not mean we have to take it into account and or rule on it. We can say this is far beyond what we got to cover. Well, this is more of a dot the I, cross the T.
Okay.
So the opponents have an opportunity then?
They could have sent in proposed suggestions too. Yeah, I don't think we're obligated to look at them.
Well, that's why I apologize for this, but we got it late this afternoon. So our staff's initial, our initial response was, yes, we should delay it so staff can talk about it internally with the hearing authority and try to sort it out before putting the Planning Commission in the position of having to deal with it. But then, you know, we figured out this new, relatively new rule about the 100 days applies. So it just, they got it to us late, and it's just kind of how it rolled out in terms of timing.
Does this happen from time to time that parties see the proposed drafts and then come to you and say, you know, whatever they say, try to get it adjusted before it gets adopted?
I mean, I don't think it happens frequently. I think it happens occasionally.
I can remember at least one time when we had discussed input from the applicant about it.
Well, I'm sure people try to work staff a little bit sometimes.
Maybe you
could. I mean, honestly, when we look through it, I think most of it is pretty inconsequential. I think probably the one thing is what Commissioner Norton is getting at is probably one of the conditions.
Maybe you cut to the chase. Is this about trying to get a gate in so that the person won't appeal? Because we basically told them that's not us, it's got to go to Public Works. Mm-hmm. And if they're playing around with that condition, that's, I think, major policy change, and we kind of answered that one. That's what I think this might be about, because they've said that if they appeal, they won't get the funding to build the project, so they want to block in this gate, and we told them we can't do that.
No. Well, let's look. See what we got. And then other people, I'm sure, have some suggestions as well. I have some suggestions in a couple of places.
Can you clarify? I was here for the hearing, but I think I wasn't here for the decision. Does anybody know?
You weren't.
You weren't here.
You weren't.
So. I was not here. So I don't vote on this anyway, right? Because I would be, if I was here for the hearing but not for the decision.
You would have had to watch.
I don't think you should, because we actually reopened the record because there was a notice failure. We didn't give notice to the upper floor condo owners, so we had to give notice to all of them, and so we had some people, you know, submitting additional notes, so we didn't have a long discussion about that.
I share, you know, kind of what Hayward was getting at, that the whole thing really hinges on whether or not they're going to be able to put a permanent gate there. The problem with when we were making the decision, and it was kind of interesting looking at just kind of taking the mood of the audience, was that there wasn't, I think they were finally getting it, that they had been sort of fired up by one person, you know, and not really understanding that they can't close the road. Right. And unfortunately, I don't think the housing authority caught on to that either, because I think that I'm assuming that they will go back, because they made the agreement, you know, that they would put up the gate. They come running down to Paula and say, okay, we want to get Public Works to allow us to do that. And Paula says, well, no, you can't do that. Number one, you got to go to the Transportation Commission. Number two, Transportation Commission, is there's no way they're going to say, yeah, you can put a gate there.
Yeah, but we can't guess what they're going to do, can they?
Well,
I'd be surprised as well.
Okay, I'm expecting, but I mean, that's sort of, so again, if it does hinge on that.
Okay, y'all, maybe you should look and see what they wrote, because what I'm looking at on this is things that I also questioned when Derek sent it, and I sent him a letter about it, so I was questioning it as my as well in terms of what's being written on this.
I don't think I saw your letter, I'm sorry.
You answered me. It was very brief. I just asked. I can't even remember what they said. I had a question. Anyhow, I had a question about the same thing that they have a question about.
Okay.
So, you know, I think we're on. I think we should look at what they said.
So the first correction is a quibble about 197.763, which is page 5.
There's one on page 1 that's just deleting the word 4.
Grammatical thing.
I saw that too.
Okay, that's a typo. Does anybody have any trouble with that?
Figured that Lynn would have
barked. That is far somewhere.
Okay. On page 1, we're okay with that change. On page 5, we're quibbling about our legal conclusion. I would not accept this change. I think that we correctly stated what 197.763 says, and it doesn't. It's not material to the decision in any case.
That makes
me
tired trying to read it. Doesn't seem important.
That's a good test. I'm actually okay with the second one on page 5, but that's what I think we said. Is that if you reopen the record, any person under 763.7, any person can comment on the new evidence, and that's how we allowed applicants to let it in.
Does anybody disagree? Isn't that already said on the original page 5 above 2.2? It's already stated in the finding. And in italics, to admit new evidence, arguments, or testimony. So not on the one that's marked, but on your original one.
You're right. This is just restating.
It's restating what's already restating stated. Restating what's taken, but in a different location, maybe.
I think attorney wrote it because it takes three times as many words to say the same thing.
So I would not bother with that either.
Okay.
It's just restating the same thing it said.
Okay. Does anyone have any disagreement?
Would you like to add language, Ellen?
No. It's got plenty of words.
Thank you. There's a couple of suggestions on the top of page 6.
Unimportant.
Why bother? Redundant, you're right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. We've got one typo so far.
It was somewhere, but I didn't mark. Maybe they'll
changes to this. I have some suggestion changes to this paragraph anyway, but no.
Are you talking about 8?
On page 8, the one that starts, the commission finds them a call drive. to cite the AMC 1302.
Well, he wants to find, have an explicit finding that the commission lacks jurisdiction. I think that's...
Which I think is legit, what he's looking at.
Yeah, we said that several times.
We did.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that clearly stated in our finding, but we clearly said it four or five times we had no jurisdiction.
To regulate the public
right. Regulate the public
said
right.
Or, orally.
Yes. It was said orally. I wasn't quite sure everybody got it, though.
Yeah.
I know we got it, but I'm not sure the audience ever really got the idea that
rather than saying we don't have jurisdiction to regulate the public right-of-way as the applicant proposes, I would say that we don't have jurisdiction to approve encroachments such as bollards and gates as the applicant proposes.
That sounds very larger.
Well, I think that's more technically accurate.
I think it is. I think it's more technically accurate than what was written originally or what they wrote.
Right, because that's what I was looking for.
It was the lack of jurisdiction to
approve encroachments such as
any encroachments.
Encroachments in the public right of way.
Encroachments in the public right of way, such as
you said bollards.
The bollards and gate as proposed by the applicant. Does that work? Did you get that? We don't need to take their suggestion about the tree commission on page 9. A preponderance of the residents, that's a correct, on the bottom of page 9, that's a correct statement of the standard review.
So you'd like us to include that?
The preponderance of the evidence.
Okay. I agree.
And I don't like I don't don't very much like this suggestion on the number 7. If their improvements are made.
Yeah.
Why would they?
What is there?
I suppose they got to go try to work the balance problem.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't our decision. I mean, that doesn't reflect our decision.
That doesn't reflect our decision.
And that's what the findings are supposed to do.
So that needs to, that we're not accepting, I would suggest we not accept.
Yeah.
I
agree.
The thing that I wrote to Derek and Roger.
Yes.
Oh, it was you that answered, not Derek. I was having a little hard time understanding why it would be a condition of approval that the improvements be made if it was the city that was responsible for them, not the applicant.
Because, and my answer in the email was, we can just read you our whole email, was that I think the applicant is responsible, like absolutely 100% legally responsible under the land use code to build this street. We call her Ride as an alley, pursuant to the alley specifications in the code, before they get a certificate of occupancy. And if the city has contractually agreed to do that for them, that's fine. But it's got to get built. The applicant is responsible. If the city decides to breach its contract, or the city says, well, hey, that contract, we didn't really agree to that. Or that contract is invalid for some, illegal immoral entrapping. We're not going to be the guarantor of their contract. They have to build it. If the city has agreed to build it for them, then that's great. But we're not in the business of interpreting the city's contract.
One thing the condition does not say it has to be built before occupancy.
Well, I think that, and I absolutely think it should. It did before it got changed and put into condition 7. It said they had to, it was in 4B, it said they had to submit drawings as part of building permit, and then in 6 it said that it had to be constructed before issuance of CO.
Okay, it said you had to submit the drawings before the building permit Right. But it didn't say anything about, because you often have to submit things, but it doesn't say anything about having to do it before occupancy.
Yeah, it was in 6H. That got replaced with condition 7, and condition 7 should also, like condition 6, it should, in my opinion, should be prior to issuance of a certificate of occupancy.
The McCall Valley Improvement shall be completed according to the approved plan. That's the change. That's B. That's the old B. But the McCall Valley
prior to issue of a certificate of
occupancy or 6. Or a final project.
Okay, so, I mean, you made that case. Does staff have a counter to that?
Yeah.
That was, the question is that what we decided? I mean, we're not relitigating it. It's just we're saying what
we decide something different. It's not final until the final findings are done. But I thought that was what we decided, is that they have
it has to get built.
They have to construct the street.
See, I thought it has to get built, but the city had agreed to build it. I thought that was the vote.
Well, I don't think we voted on that. We don't know what the city agreed to.
Yeah,
see,
it had to be built according to the plan.
Yeah.
The way it was written, the understanding was that the city was going to reimburse, and then that turned out not to be the agreement. So that's why it had to be changed. But at the time we decided it, the expectation was the applicant was building it and the city was paying them back.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still a bit confused why that's. I wanted to hear more from staff with this new thing that we got.
Is that okay? I think that it was the city's attempt to make the condition still required but flexible, more flexibility in taking away timing and direct responsibility mentioned in the condition. So it was just trying to provide a little flexibility given that there was some back and forth about who was, you know, which party was going to do what.
Yeah. And I totally agree that flexibility in saying not who, you know, eliminating who, you know, saying that the applicant has to build it, you know, that's appropriate. I mean, that's what your contract says. But I don't think it's appropriate to say this has to be built sometime. 2020, 2040? Mm-hmm. I mean, when is it built? I mean, it's got to be built as part of the project. So it needs to be done before
it's emergency access.
It's, no, we're requiring a tally. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yes, ma'am?
I'm just having a problem with making a requirement for the applicant to get their anything, right, of their project for something, to do something that they have no control over actually performing.
They so, like, control.
What is it?
They can do it.
Well, I think, may I?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's been very complicated by the fact that the city owned the property and there's a sales agreement. If you kind of put that aside and imagine you're dealing with a private developer, you don't really know what kind of contracts or agreements they have with maybe a property owner or other entities in the development proposal. So I don't think that usually even comes to light in most land use applications. And so I'm not really sure that it really should be in this one.
I'm not sure. I think you're right that it's not. I'm not sure it's relevant. Who has to build it? The thing is that it's required under the land use code
to be done.
To be done. So that means it's required as part of this project, and this project is up and running, and they can see it out, so it needs to be built by them.
And they negotiated the contract with the city, so if for some reason the city isn't prepared to timely execute, they have to renegotiate and say, okay, we'll do it because we want to build, and you guys aren't timely, and then you can pay us back.
Yeah,
you know, they can work that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sue the city, get damages.
Staff isn't advocating that.
We're not putting that in the findings, but they have, like you say, they have control of their situation.
So where are we changing it? In the writing? Nothing? Or are we adding a paragraph they're suggesting, or a verbiage that they're suggesting?
I think I would just make it H. So the prior to issue is a certificate of occupancy. It's still a separate condition.
Age without the applicant's changes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So just take 7 and make it 8.
Yeah, make it 6H.
I think the way the condition still reads, and it originally read, was you're going to build the road. But the question is, are you going to allow vehicles or just emergency access? And we kind of said, That's between public works and whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
So it seemed like what was going to happen would be that they would go and request that it only be emergency access.
For
and we were neutral. Well, maybe not. I wasn't, but on that I was. We were neutral and said, hey, go to them. And everyone was kind of in agreement that they could have moved on. But then they threw this gate in there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think that, because this could, let's see if I, on the timing, this is going to get confusing because I'm confused. Well, not necessarily confused, but.
You're going to confuse us.
What happens is,
you go
okay,
now,
you go is, we've got the September 11th, but they're not going to know on this whole gate issue. The only way they can get that one on the table is to go to Public Works, request it. Public Works goes to the Transportation Commission, and they would probably take the emergency access at the same time. And if they go to Public Works and Public Works says no, I guess they have to go to the Transportation Commission too. Well, if they go to the Transportation Commission and the Transportation Commission says no, now whether or not they would ask us what we think, I don't know.
We have a jurisdiction.
But if they ask us what we thought, don't disregard it. So then what happens would be then they would go, wouldn't they go to the council? Wouldn't something at the Transportation Commission be appealable to the council? So if it gets appealed to the council, we're talking Public Works, their meeting agenda, council getting it. That could be well after September 11th.
Not our problem.
But what does that do to the whole thing? That's not our problem. It's
not a problem for the land use part.
Okay.
That's a separate type of building permit. That answered my question. Yeah, not a problem for the land use. For the land use type. Michael?
I'd like to make a motion. I would move approval of findings of planning action 2019.
Okay. Is that just as amended? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any discussion?
No.
Any discussion for anyone else?
I just want to say I'm still not really comfortable with the idea of requiring them to do something to get their approval that they don't have control over. And I do think it's different than the example that Maria gave, in the sense that the developer is paying someone to do it. If their contractor doesn't want to do it, they can hire a different contractor. But if the city's doing it, they're not paying the city to do it, so they really don't have control over it. So I'm just saying, I'm not comfortable with it. I hear that nobody agrees with me, but
I thought we just modified that with
no, we didn't.
Well, we put it that it has to be constructed by certificate of occupancy. See, I think they do have 100% control. It's their property. They can build what they want. You know, they can build what they want in line with this approval on it. They don't have to wait for the city.
So between the time they start building, they go to Public Works, and Public Works says, okay, we don't really want to have that road built. Does that take them off the hook?
No,
because it's a condition of approval. Mm-hmm.
They'd have to come
they
back.
They have to do, I mean, what we decided is that, you know, this road has got to be built because the land use code says you've got to build the road there.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the land use
code. Does the land use code say they have to build the road?
Yeah.
So we're kind of stuck with the land use code. So even if future traffic comes back and even if the traffic commission comes back and says we don't want the road built, they're still not going to be able to do that because it's in the land use code. So they've got to build the road. How they modify the road is left up to future traffic.
Yep. That's my
so that's the difference.
Yep. Means that they have to do street improvements on the streets that are adjacent to the road. Any other discussion?
Where did you show it was on 6 that prior to the issuance of occupancy or final improvements, and then 8 would be under 7 would be under 4 or would it be under 6?
It'd be under 6. I think it was under 6.
Here's interesting that prior to issuance of certificate of occupancy, they shall be completed. Okay.
So you've got to have a road built for the people in there.
But if you build that.
Unless you get a TCO.
If you build 90% of the building and then it comes up as an issue, are they going to tell the people they can't move into 60 affordable units?
Yes.
You won't get a CFO?
You can't get a certificate of
occupancy. Yeah, maybe you can get a TCO for a part of the building. I don't know.
You can't get
that's the building official's problem.
Normally, you build off and you will put that in prior to coming out. Nobody can move it. That just happens all the time.
I had a couple of suggestions. One was that a couple of places we say that, including condition 6H, we say that a minimum 12-foot width paved driving surface with 2-foot buffer on each side, and shall at a minimum provide bicycle, pedestrian, and emergency vehicle access. And I'm wondering why we need to say that. Yeah. Why do we need to weigh in on what kind of access it provides? It's not our jurisdiction. I think you say you build a 12-foot wide road according to alley standards.
Yep. And per public work standards or county.
Yeah.
Public work standard would be good.
And take that.
Take all the rest of that out.
And shall the minimum provide bicycle, pedestrian, emergency access standards out. And you say that again.
Roger, this is Derek's. This is Derek's additional language, right?
I mean, that's language that was in there originally. We were talking about that was originally what they had proposed, and we just didn't adjust the condition when it came up that they wanted to block pedestrian.
And what version is everyone looking at so it can get people to the right place? You looking at the original one?
I got the one that was handed out today.
Yeah, July 23.
Right.
The July 23 staff.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's been on page. Bottom of page 7, the commission finds that McCall Drive.
That's a tortured paragraph.
Yeah. More so now.
I actually typed this out. People weren't taking a look at it.
Okay. Why didn't you just?
It's this. I would put in a sentence that says, after city street standards on the line.
And then we,
and
that's where we made changes right after city street standards tonight.
Yeah.
Is this 7 you're proposing to change?
It's on page 7.
On page.
But what's the number you're proposing to change?
It's not a number, it's just on page 7.
The last paragraph.
Okay, the findings, the last paragraph.
It's not in the middle, Land Commission 5, it's all dry.
But it doesn't change the condition.
It doesn't change the condition. It's on the fourth line up from the bottom to add. I thought we could add the commission does not approve any encroachment such as bollards or a gate within the McCall Drive right-of-way as proposed by the applicant.
Right.
maybe that's cleared it up already elsewhere. I think with the changes that may be cleared up elsewhere.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the top of page 8, that language again, to enable at a minimum, I would strike at a minimum bicycle, pedestrian, and emergency vehicle.
Same as the condition we just talked about.
It says to enable access, period. And what kind of access is up to public works. The other thing I had a question about was the second full paragraph on page 8. We find that the traffic impact analysis concludes something. I think we agreed with that, so I think we should just, I mean, we agree that the proposed 60 unit development can be approved. We're going back to this thing we tried to get away from when staff writes, that we find that the TIA, that the applicant said something. Okay, well, what do we say? So I think we need to say that the Planning Commission concludes, agrees with the conclusion of the TIA that, and then strike concludes and say that the proposed 60 unit development can be approved without adverse impacts to the transportation system.
It drops the last sentence.
And I would strike the last sentence.
The last sentence I thought we didn't find in our hearing.
We didn't, you're right.
Yes,
the last sentence is sort of, what they recommend, it's not what we recommend. So we'll strike the last sentence. That's what I would propose as a friendly amendment.
Okay, well, I would say my motion addresses what you just said, and hopefully Derek has it down.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
Then we'll make sure that it says that. Then we'll probably, this pagination may change in this, so we'll probably sign it tomorrow or something.
Okay.
Unless you want to go back to night and type it.
Probably first thing in the morning.
All right. With any further discussion?
And one more thing, and that's back on page 7. In the middle of that last paragraph, the Planning Commission finds Call Drive is a public right-of-way that is owned by the city that works in conjunction with the network of easement providing pedestrian and bicycle connectivity. Still need to leave in it that connectivity of what specifically the connectivity is. Mm-hmm.
That's a confusing sentence, but I didn't know how to say it.
Didn't know how to fix it.
I didn't either.
You know, and I think it's just sort of reemphasizes the policy of the city.
The connectivity policy.
The connectivity. Yeah, but I know that's the biggest issue with the whole development.
Yeah, my fix was just eliminate pedestrian and bicycle leave development, adjacent developments, the connectivity.
That makes sense to me, because we're not...
Right, because that leaves out vehicular. Yeah, we go right back and put in pedestrian and bicycles.
I think
it's the connectivity is what we're about. Right. And the street standards say what we're
about. Are you okay with that, John?
I'm okay.
Okay, so we'll eliminate pedestrian and bicycle. That's good. Why not?
So while we're on that side, what's the network of easements? What is that referring to?
So
I have the slightest idea.
There was a slide in the PowerPoint that showed you easements through McCall to Birchwood and through McCall to the subject property and through McCall over toward YMCA Way. So there was a slide that was trying to point out there's this network of interconnected easements because we don't have a gridded street system where each of these developments in a admittedly piecemeal fashion has provided the easements so that they can eventually get through there as pedestrians or bicycles.
But those are private pedestrian easements, not...
No, they're public pedestrian access easements.
Public pedestrian access.
Yeah, it's a network of public easements that have been provided through each of the land use approvals.
Okay.
And I would point out that in that planning action in 2003, that was discussed, our two meetings, quite a bit, that easement was going to go through
to get that.
Cool.
Okay. Okay, are we ready for a roll call vote? Can you call the roll, please?
Okay. Commissioner Dawkins?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Thompson?
Abstain because I wasn't here.
Right. Norton?
Yes.
Pierce?
Yes.
Midland?
No.
Harper?
Yes.
Okay, and Lynn gets the long-suffering award for sitting through all that. Thank you. And thanks everyone for their hard work on that. That was a hard work part.
I find it interesting that the person who was going to appeal it forever is not here today.
Well, so I can't appeal it. Well, now we've got
to be more follow it.
That's good. Attorneys need to make a living.
And he said he would spend $10 million to fight it. He could buy a whole piece of property for $10 million.
Oh, he said $10 million.
No, he said $10 million. He could have bought the whole thing, given how
he was alluding to the fact that he was responsible for building the Trader Joe's shopping center. It cost him $10 million.
Okay.
If you knew Russ,
you know. Is that the one that would
back up? A few little brains and thought that one would take. But no, that he would spend the $10 million that it took to develop that.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck. We'll see what he can do. The second item on the agenda is the approval of findings for PATD 2019-0010, 185 through 197 Lithia Way.
No ex parte.
No ex parte. Do you have any ex parte left? Michael?
No ex parte.
None.
No ex parte.
And I have a in the middle of the end.
No ex parte.
Thank you. So do people have a chance to, does anyone have any suggested edits or questions, hats, pans, about these findings?
I know I'm not really supposed to be interested in this, but I was just curious as to why the whole thing seems to be the part of, you know, it's really the big deal about this. And I just thought it was a little strange to say at the end that should OSF cease to be the tenant, the parking requirements can be revisited. But how do you revisit them, you know, the things built? How does that actually happen?
It gets spelled out in, they could re-permit the project for one, for another use, for another type of use. They could comply with the, we tried to write in there things they could do under the then
app. Who's they?
They become, if the PMP cannot be complied with, then they are out of compliance with their land use approval and can't make the use. So they could provide additional bonuses, replacement bonuses.
But this just says if OSF is no longer the tenant, it doesn't say they're out of compliance.
Well, they become out of compliance.
Well, does the plan require that OSF be the tenant?
The plan is based on OSF being, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That's what I'm just asking.
I mean, it really doesn't, but their entire pitch was that OSF is the tenant, and OSF is able to control the folks that live here.
Just a note, the OSF board has not approved this whole thing, so that's very nice that they're coming here and making these assertions. Let's hope they get approval.
Well,
you know, by OSF, but, you know.
And if they don't, they're going to have to redo the project, I suspect.
But I'm just raising the question that to say that the parking requirements would be revisited just because OSF is no longer, renting all of the apartments. And that's, as I understand it, the proposal is a 10-year deal. So 10 years down the road, that may be the case. And so is there really a basis for revisiting anything? I'm not presuming anything. I'm just saying that it's just, I don't see how this would.
Yeah. I don't want to do a spoiler to your board meeting, but I thought it was 25 year
extension. It was 25.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 2 25-year extensions.
I think you're right, it was 25.
Yeah.
25 years. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
At that time, if they can't comply, you know, maybe they could comply with some other tenant. You know, I think it would be hard. But if they couldn't comply with the transportation demand management plan, they could provide additional bonuses that were in the code at that time. They could comply with the then applicable parking regulations. You know,
it could turn into 400 units.
10 years, you know, 10 years from now, that may be in the downtown code, no parking required.
Anyway, if you read that Sunday's paper, you know.
Yeah.
10 years, we won't need it. Oh, yeah, have a car.
We will be underwater then, is that?
No, it was self-driving.
Nobody will need it. They'll get it.
The article about how we're all going to get carried away the big one.
Well, they said it'd be in 10 to 20 years. So I started adding how many years I got left in the last school be here. So
yeah.
I think they're a little short.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes.
Okay.
But I think Lynn's point is something that we always kind of have to come down to. It's like, you know, okay, we're approving this, but who really says that that at the very end is going to be it? So we have to, you know, it's a question I had entirely all the way through.
It was an unusual application because they came in with OSF making the presentation. And it was,
who gave the numbers for the parking?
Completely based on OSF being able to control the parking, not the.
Yeah.
I saw it much the same proposal for the units that were behind the People's Bank, the credit union.
Because
their whole proposal was the type of people who were going to rent there don't need this many vehicles.
So they're concerned if that changes, how's the parking going to work?
It was
Right. Yes. Part of those things, you have to come back and tear out walls.
But I think it is something, though, you know, we also have to sort of balance those sort of things. Like, okay, this really could work. You know, we could be, and I could be just really rigid going like, no, we can't do this because we're not really, you can't guarantee that it's always going to be there. So we often have, that's the one place where we have to take some.
But they could repermit,
Yeah.
You know, revise the project, modify the project.
Build a lot of underground parking.
Yeah. Do that
for
some
months.
So I would just like to comment that while I agree with what people are saying, I had some difficulties with the way we read it. This is what we agreed to at the meeting.
Yes.
So these are findings for what we agreed to, and that's what we agreed to.
Okay.
It was all written out.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments or edits?
Move approval as submitted by staff.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Do you wish to speak to your group?
Yep. Spinker?
Me neither.
I have one question on page 11. It's going to be a sticker. First sentence. The plan, we find that the request seems consistent with the possible exception design. Well, is it consistent? I thought
it is consistent.
You thought it should be that it is consistent.
I think that's what we said.
I think that's just a typo.
I think that's a copy from 2015. So.
We equivocated a lot more.
Yeah, we equivocated more several years ago. We're more certain now. If that changes your taste, you might
accept that.
Any other discussion? The clerk call the roll, please.
Midland?
Yes.
Pierce?
Yes.
Harper?
Yes.
Thompson?
Abstain.
Norton?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Dawkins?
Yes.
The findings and conclusions for that matter are approved. And we have nothing else to do this evening. Thanks for your adjourn.
I was going to say something. Go ahead. Well, I'm just curious if there's any follow-up.